Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Pat.
And I'm Marianne.
Good morning, Marianne.
A little late on the button pushing there.
Two things going on at one time. So we are with North Coast Food Web, cultivating healthy communities in the lower Columbia Pacific region through food and agriculture. And today we're talking with Terry Elliott, pastry chef for Baked Alaska.
I think Pat has given you several last names.
That's what lack of sleep does. So I was typing that this morning from a obviously really bad memory. And Marianne shared your name with me when I came, and I even changed it. I
think mine.
On yours, but not mine. And my lack of sleep is really coming through. So sorry about that. Terry Miller, pastry chef at Baked Alaska. Terry, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So one of the things that we always love to hear about is, what's your connection to the North Coast? How did you wind up here?
Well, I actually grew up here. I grew up in Long Beach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and we went to Vancouver from there, and I met my husband, and he was in the military, so we traveled around a bit. Ended up in Klamath Falls, Oregon for about 13 years, and he retired from the Air Force there, or he was in the Guard, but we relocated back here where he's at Camp Rylea, and so, you know, kind of a homecoming for me, at least.
Yeah, that's exciting. So I'm always curious when people wind up doing something in the, actually whatever industry they choose to be in, but what made you decide to be a pastry chef?
Well, I have always baked and cooked and, you know, loved food and had a love affair with food and and grew up in a family of people that, you know, my mother always cooked and my grandmother and everything. So I had the opportunity to go to culinary school and I kind of jumped on it and just ran with it and, you know, I've loved it. It's just been great. So
when you went to culinary school, did you specifically for pastry or?
I went to Oregon Culinary Institute in Portland, and they have two programs. They offer a culinary program and a baking and pastry program. And I started in the culinary program and completed that and did an internship back here. And then I went back and did the baking and pastry program.
Oh, wow.
And so I really kind of thought my heart, you know, was in the baking and pastry side of it, and that was really what I enjoyed. So,
oh,
yeah, it's been great.
That's great. I'm always intrigued by people that like to bake and do the whole pastry aspect. For me, I love savory food, and so I tend to do that more. And I think there's a little bit of the pastry feels like such a structured.
It is. It really is. It's more, it's so detail oriented. Yeah. And I noticed that in school too. I mean, people are like, well, what did you find different? And it is very exacting, you know, and you have to, you really have, you know, you can just throw a pinch and a dab of this and that when you're, you know,
yes,
when you're cooking in the savory side. But yeah, in baking a pastry, if you, you know, start throwing this and that, you're going to end up with a whole different animal.
Yeah, because so, everything has an effect. There's
it does.
A reason
it
why
is. There's a lot of chemistry
there
and science involved in baking. So you really have to, you know, stick with the rules. Follow the rules until you know them well enough that you can break them.
Know what happens when you
right
do break them and
yes
why you're breaking it.
Yeah.
So I have to ask, did you watch the Great British Baking Show?
I didn't watch that one. I watched so many other ones, and sometimes you just have to say enough.
Yeah, exactly. I have work to do here.
Right.
So when you completed your training, like what was next then in the journey of
when I completed
chef
the school portion, the in-class hands-on portion, then you're required to do a 240-hour internship. They call it an externship. I'm really not sure what the difference is there, but you know, and I went to Stephanie Inn and did that in Cannon Beach, and you know, that was a great experience. You know, to learn, they do everything out there, you know, so you get a wide variety of things that you're working on out there. And so once that's finished, I wasn't really sure, you know, where I would go, if I was just going to, you know, do some catering or, you know, what. There's so many different directions you can go, especially with baking and pastry. If you want to focus on, you know, cakes, or if you want to make bread, or if you, you know, are into the laminated doughs like croissants and things like that, you know, it just kind of depends on, you know, what you want to do. And I really what, you know, I like kind of everything. That's one of the things I liked about Stephanie Inn is you got to do a bunch of different things. Yeah. And I like the nice little plated desserts and things like that. So I like the restaurant aspect of it. You know, I get to do a variety of different things. So that's kind of why I chose to go that direction, you know.
Great. Great. So do you have a favorite thing that you make?
I don't know. People ask me that all the time. I think it depends on, you know,
the day,
the time and of year. The week and what I'm doing. And, you know, when I'm making bread, I love to make bread. You know, when I'm making cakes, I really love to make cakes. So I think I could probably pinpoint more of what I don't enjoy better than what I do. And I really do not like making chocolates. I like eating chocolates. I don't like making chocolates. I just don't. The melted goo, and it's on your hands, and it's everywhere, and I'm covered in it, and it's just not my favorite thing.
Well, and that's like a whole nother thing onto itself.
It is.
The whole tempering and...
Right. And, you know, to do a little bit of it is fine, but to really get into it, yes, you have to just kind of focus on chocolates and be a chocolatier, and that's, you know, and then that kind of excludes you from so many other things that I enjoy more, so, yeah.
So you said laminated dough and croissants, and for some reason, it's one of those things that I always think, I periodically will decide I want to learn how to cook something, and I'll really throw myself into it and try it over and over and over again until it's like, oh, well, that turned out really good.
And that's a good way to do it. I mean, to just try something once, you know, you really should jump into it and do it for a couple of weeks and really get the feel for it, you know, and just make the same thing over and over, and then you get a feel for how is that dough supposed to feel? Yeah. What did I do wrong this time? It didn't feel the same way, and then you'll get to where you know how it's supposed to be.
Yeah. So croissants is one of those that I think I want to tackle, but that I'm really intimidated by it.
It's just it's time consuming. And that's one of the things about baking too, if you know, a lot of people is the steps, and you have to follow the steps. And if you don't let the dough rest, and if you don't, you know, lock the butter incorrectly and go through the steps and do the turns, then it's not going to work out. And you could do all those things and still something went wrong. And, you know, so it's a lot of time and maybe it didn't work out the way you want, but that just happens and you have to start over and regroup and
Yeah. And that can get a little spendy too with flour and butter and
lots of butter.
Lots of butter. What's good pastry without lots
of
butter?
For people who have never attempted to make a croissant, tell us what a laminated dough is.
A laminated dough is you're making layers, and each layer has flour and butter into it. And you make a piece of dough, and you take a block of butter and set that on top of the dough, and you fold it inside of it like an envelope, and then you'll go back in and roll that out and fold it again and go back in and roll it out and fold it again. So you keep making these layers, and as you fold it, you let it rest in between each layer and bring it back out of the, you know, refrigerator and fold it and do this. You can do that 3 or 4 times and you get a lot of little layers, and the butter is what makes that puff up and make those little layers, because, you know, it creates steam inside of there. And that's how you get that nice fluffy pastry that everybody loves to eat. But it is difficult and it can be frustrating. And yeah, it can be really frustrating.
And it can be really delicious.
Yes.
So that is similar then if you were making puff pastry.
It is, the laminated doughs, like the croissant, is it has a yeast in it. It's a yeasted dough, and a puff dough doesn't have yeast in it. The locking and folding technique of the butter is basically the same, but you're not going to get the rise like you do with a yeasted dough.
Right.
So that's why puff pastry is flatter.
Equally delicious. And I'm thinking anything, I was captivated by the description. It's an envelope with butter in
right.
it.
Right. can't go wrong there, can
How
you?
How can that be bad?
No.
It sounds really delicious. and I think one of my favorites, I love like croissants. I'm really on a croissant thing this morning. I love them, the chocolate ones.
Right.
And I love the savory ham and cheese or spinach and cheese or something.
It's a perfect vehicle.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, that probably just makes the process even more complicated when you're introducing
other things. You know, that's
kind
of the end. So once you have everything ready, then you put that filling in it. So the basic dough really lends itself to sweet or savory, because you don't put, you know, sugar into the base dough. It's whatever you, you know, put with it at the end. So it can, that part's the easy part, really.
Deciding what you're going to put into it. So this might be an interesting class.
Well,
laminated dough?
No, I think it would be a fabulous class, but I'm not sure, like, we should, I was going to spend some time getting acquainted with Terry before I recruited her to teach a class at the Food Web. But yes, it would be fabulous.
That would just, you know, I'm thinking about my desire to learn how to make croissants, and I'm thinking, oh, that would be so much easier to have an expert.
There's kind of a baby step to croissants that might be a way to progress, you know, more of a puff pastry level and then work up to
So puff pastry is a good starting there, place.
Yes, that's a... Yeah, there's a couple of different puff pastries that you can make, and, you know, one's called a Blitz puff pastry, and that's even easier than the other puff pastry, and then work up into croissants.
Yeah, it's so funny. For some reason, I had it in my head that puff pastry would be harder for some. So that's good to know that
that's puff pastry is a nice starting point. Yeah, that's a good starting point.
Cool. I will definitely explore that. So I'm thinking about Valentine's Day coming up.
Right, big weekend.
One of those really, I'm sure, big restaurant weekends.
It is. It's a big one for Baked Alaska.
Yeah, I bet.
What's on the dessert menu these days?
Well, I have a couple of specials. I want to do something chocolate, of course. We have a very dark, rich, and it is a flourless chocolate cake so that, you know, the gluten-free people can enjoy it too. Yes. And it's very decadent and delicious. That will be on the recipe. I mean, one of the recipes we'll be doing. And then I think maybe a layered couple of different mousses layered together. I'm working on something like that, maybe raspberry, something. I like to have something fruit, something chocolate. Uh-huh. We're going to be doing a menu change because we're getting ready for, you know, spring. Our restaurant is being remodeled right now, the kitchen. So once we start back up, we'll have a new savory menu and a sweet menu. So, you know, we haven't worked out all the details, but it's in the works. So, yeah, that'll be a big weekend because we'll be back opened and, you know, we'll have pretty much everything will be new for the season. So
that's great.
Yeah.
That sounds lovely. I want to take a minute right now to remind everybody that you're listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM Tillamook, Oregon, and we're always streaming online at coastradio.org. And I want to just mention that should you tune into the radio and a piece on the transmitter is broken and we're not where you expect us to be at on the dial, you can usually always find us online. So just solve that coastradio.org information in the back of your brain in case you need it in an emergency.
That's been so interesting, actually, the last, what has it been, like a week or something? It's like, because I listened to it in the shop. It's like, where's my radio station? Where do I find them?
I know. And we didn't disappear altogether, but it was like we rearranged the furniture. Yeah. And we, you know, you get up in the middle of the night and bump into the sofa.
Trips us all
up. I was like, where am I? Anyway, online. That's the default. So, and everything is fixed now.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And if you are just joining us, you're listening to Food Talk, and today we're talking with Terry Miller, pastry chef at Baked Alaska. So you had mentioned mousse, and the thing that went through my head is like, what's the difference between just like old-fashioned pudding that one might make at home versus mousse?
Air.
Yes. And so by air, you're talking about
Usually
whipping.
A mousse, right, will have a lot of air whipped into it as a, I guess it's called a stirred custard more than like a pudding would be a stirred custard also, but you don't add the step of maybe making a meringue or a whipped cream and adding it into that pudding, which, you know, really gives it that light and fluffy texture.
Mm-hmm. So a little bit more delicate.
Right, and right.
Sort of the puffiness. Yeah, that's a great word.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that I've ever made mousse at home, but I love making old-fashioned chocolate pudding. There's just something about that.
Homey, yeah.
Yeah.
Comfort food, right?
Puddings,
especially this time of year.
Custards and...
Yes.
Yeah, delicious. So you mentioned a new menu coming up in spring, and I know we have a little ways to go yet, but what are you looking forward to in spring? What are you excited about?
Oh, I always look forward to the nice strawberries coming out. Mm. You know, we have a short little season where they're perfect and beautiful and try and use them as much as we can. You know, yeah. they're wonderful when they're ripe and delicious here in Oregon, especially. Our berries are wonderful. So
beautiful strawberries.
I do like to try and use seasonal fruits and vegetables and stuff, you know. So we are, you know, we're in apples and pears. We still have those and, you know, our frozen berries and stuff. But, this time of year, you start to look forward to fresh things. So, anything coming up that, you know, it's going to be a while, but we can dream.
It is going to be a while. But I think for me, it's always like, when's the rhubarb going to be ready?
Right.
I love rhubarb.
Yeah, the
so
berries
delicious.
And the rhubarb. And always good.
So I'm curious, especially knowing that you're a very thoroughly trained chef, do you cook at home?
I do. I cook, you know, because I do a lot of sweets and stuff all day long. So I enjoy the savory side also. And I cook almost every night. So,
yeah,
I do.
Well, I think that's a great balance. There's something really quite lovely about that you get to do one thing while you're at work.
Right.
Which still leaves you the opportunity to play with the other side of it when you're at home.
Yeah. And I bake a lot at home, too, and cook a lot at home. I'm always trying things out. So, I pretty much are in my kitchen a lot.
Oh, your poor husband, right?
Right.
Yeah. Does he get to be the guinea pig for all
kinds
of things?
He does. And he is not much of a dessert eater, really.
Oh, really?
You know, he'll have a bite or he'll have something. So everything goes to work, you know, with him.
Yeah.
And so the guys he works with enjoy it a lot. And the women
they
there.
Do.
They get a lot of treats. So, it doesn't go to waste.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. So what's... Oh, my gosh. Sorry.
No, that's okay. You know, I wanted to talk about home bakers because for a lot of us, I mean, I don't really bake much at all. If there's not a pie walk, I'm not baking. You know what I mean? So, and I think it's because I accurately or otherwise think of baking as just being a real big chore. Like, it just seems like such a project compared to throwing together a great pasta. You know what I mean? Think, oh, am I going to tackle that even on a cookie level? But I'm a big fan of the product. So I'm wondering what you might have to tell us as home bakers that, you know, where we might start or what's a good way to...
A couple of things to really think about when you're getting ready to bake is read your recipe all the way through. And follow a recipe. I mean, you just don't jump in and say, I'm going to make this and, you know, get a good recipe, read it all the way through before you start, make sure you have all your ingredients, mise en place.
Mise en place, mise en place.
Right.
Saves the
very
day.
Important.
Yeah.
And if you can, or if your, you know, recipes are converted to weights versus volume measurement, that is so important in baking. Most everything we have is a cup, you know, a cup of flour. Well, one person's scoop of a cup of flour is different. So, you know, AP flour is, you know, generally about 4.5 ounces is a cup. So if you can get recipes that are converted into weights, it's much more accurate. And it's so much easier to scale up or down if you have your recipe in weights than it is in, you know, cups or volume measurements.
Uh-huh.
So I think you'll find that you have better results if you can do that. And there are apps on your phone that can convert things too.
Where would we be without
There's
an app for that, right?
Yes.
So I just want to come back to a couple terms just to make sure everybody's on the same page with us. Mise en place.
Put in place.
Put in place. I
love
that.
So go and get all of your ingredients. You don't want to be into a recipe and discover that you don't have any eggs or you don't have any milk. Yes.
Right. Or suddenly you realize that the butter was supposed to be room temperature.
Right.
Yes.
And that is another thing with baking. Almost you always want everything room temperature. I mean, with the exception of pie crust and things like that where you're, you know, incorporating the cold shortenings into your flour. But eggs, you want room temperature. You think of almost like you're making an emulsion, like a dressing. You are the same thing with your ingredients, your eggs and butter and things like that. And if you throw something, freezing cold into warm butter, that's going to seize up. So that's sometimes why people's results are, not optimum.
Yeah.
So, great. All those little tips.
And you said AP flour, so all-purpose flour just right. In case people are wondering what kind of flour is that? So you're saying everything at room temperature. So if I'm deciding I want to make a cake or, whatever, and so I'm gathering all my things, like how long should I take the eggs out and whatever and let them sit before
they'll
I
generally
start
take
and,
you can set the butter out. I'll take it out the night before and set it out so it's good and softened up.
Okay, that might be right there why I don't bake. That's a really planful woman.
That's a commitment.
Right. The night before I'm going to bake something tomorrow.
If you have a nice KitchenAid and a blowtorch, you can throw that butter in and heat the outside of your stainless steel bowl with a blowtorch a pinch you can heat that up. It's a little, better consistency than microwave gives you. So. That's one of my tips. I do that a lot.
So take the butter out well ahead of time.
Right.
You want it really soft.
Yeah, like the consistency of mayonnaise a lot of times when you're, whipping that up, really softened butter.
Nice.
Yeah.
The blowtorch thing. I'm not a huge kitchen gadget fan, but for some reason,
those little blowtorches,
I want one of those things.
Yeah, just skip that and go to the hardware store and get the big one. The little one will be nothing but frustration. Yeah, get the big can, like the big boys use. You want that.
You heard it here, Tom. We have to go to the hardware store. I just think that would be so fun to have one of those.
Yeah, it's very handy.
Planning, reading the recipe, and that's just such a great tip no matter what you're cooking.
All the way through.
Read that recipe
so that you know what it
through.
Means. You don't want to get down at the bottom and go, have no idea and have to be on a Google search figuring out how to do something in a recipe.
Yeah. And I think that's when you look at recipes, depending on whose recipe you're reading or what cookbook it's coming from.
Right.
Recipes are written in lots of different ways. Especially for someone who maybe doesn't cook that much, like I'm thinking about my Tom, and when he reads a recipe and they make him crazy because they don't make sense to him. So it's almost like they have to be rewritten in what in his mind would be a more logical way to lay it out. So really reading that recipe through and thinking, what's it telling me, and what's step one and what's step two. What do I need to have at the ready so I'm not scrambling at the last minute?
Yes. I help out with Chris Holen at the Seaside High School in their culinary program on occasion. And that, it really kind of helps me see how people that don't cook all the time read recipes and follow recipes, because something that I think is common sense it doesn't always work that way. If you haven't cooked a lot, it just doesn't make sense to people. And so it's good for me to see how that, how people understand things differently in that sense too, because, a lot of times the kids will, it's in the bowl and I'm like, well, wait, it says down here, it just said combine. So that goes back to read the entire recipe first and make notes to yourself on your recipes. People will look at those cookbooks like you don't want to mess it or anything, but write in them, make notes to yourself, this didn't work, I did it this way, or for next time try this, or put a big asterisk by something that maybe you threw it all in together and it wasn't supposed to be. So the next time you won't do that.
Read the recipe.
Such a great tip. Gravy stains is the sign of a really good recipe.
Yes, right.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever page in the cookbook that
when
is.
When my two pages are stuck together, you know I've done that one quite a few times. Right.
That's right.
So I'm curious, and mentioning cookbooks, do you have any favorites from a pastry standpoint?
I'm a big Thomas Keller fan, so Bouchon is one that I am working front to back in, just really nice, kind of standard recipes, but just maybe tweaked in a little bit different ways, very, very good cookbook if you like to bake. Yeah, that's a nice one. Mm.
I've always wanted to do that. I love cookbooks. I love reading them. I love looking at the pictures, thinking about recipes. But I always thought it would be really fun, kind of like the Julia and Julia thing, mm-hmm. is to take a cookbook and cook through that.
All the way through
the entire book.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, like, I want to do plenty. Yotam.
Oh, yeah.
Ottolenghi's beautiful, beautiful, primarily vegetable book, just because I think it looks so gorgeous.
Yeah.
I think that would be very fun. But Thomas Keller, huh?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. He's quite a chef.
Yeah, he is. Which reminds me, my favorite roast chicken. I love roasting chicken at home because it's just so simple and you get more than one meal out of it. I love that. My current favorite roast chicken is a Thomas Keller recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a really basic roast chicken. Salt, I think salt is the only thing that goes on it while it's cooking. And then when you pull it out, you let it stand for about 10 minutes. And this is the part I love. Then you slather it with butter and serve it with mustard.
Never a bad thing, right?
It is to die for. So yeah. I can't imagine what an adventure it must be working your way through one of his cookbooks.
He just has a wonderful philosophy on cooking also. You know, work small and work clean. And, you know, everything comes out in your process. You know, if your whole house and kitchen is a mess, you know, your results probably aren't optimal either. But I like that philosophy.
I think
clean
that's
as you go.
That's another great, great tip to add, the clean as you go thing. Oh my gosh, that just makes life so much easier.
Yeah, it really does.
It makes me willing to do it because the only way, as far as I'm concerned, to ruin a really great meal is to walk in the kitchen later and realize that you have an hour and a half of cleanup.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I've done that to my husband a couple times because I cook, he cleans, and sometimes I just look over and I'm like, oh, sorry.
I have just used everything in the house.
Some recipes do take that, but I try not to do that.
Yeah.
Are you at home? Are you cooking for two?
I am cooking for two, yes.
Me too. And Pat too, so we're...
I'm supposed to be cooking for two. We have a lot of leftovers sometimes.
That's still an ongoing challenge for me, although for many things I love, you know, if I'm making a pot of soup or anything I want to make a big amount because I love putting some stuff in the freezer and having another meal when I come home. I think that's just wonderful.
Sometimes you just start chopping vegetables and you get a little crazy too.
Yep. That is for sure. So before we run out of time here,
which we are doing,
rapidly.
Yeah.
I know, Marianne, you've got some exciting truffle kinds of things coming up.
Well, it's not just me. It's North Coast Food Web. It's a fundraiser for one of my favorite nonprofits. And North Coast Food Web is doing a Nipples of Venus truffle fundraiser around Valentine's Day. And those are going to be available for pre-order starting this week and then be available exclusively at Pat's Pantry on Commercial and at Lucy's Books on 12th Street in downtown Astoria through Valentine's Day. And all the proceeds from those sales go toward the work we do at the North Coast Food Web. So I'm encouraging you to keep an eye on the ad in the paper and don't forget to pre-order because the on-site stock of those will be limited. So you can't wait till the last minute and think that we're just going to whip those out for you.
And if you have not yet had Nipples of Venus, oh my gosh.
Yeah, really.
These are so delicious.
If you came to the Food Film Festival last winter, you had them and you've been asking about them. So they're back by popular demand for a very short time. I also want to remind people that the cooking classes coming up most immediately at North Coast Food Web are, we're still doing our encore series, and that has been very popular, and we are hoping to be on the curriculum for the next term. So if you want to join us and you're a member of Encore, look for that in your schedule coming up. We're doing a basic techniques course starting next Saturday, I believe. I would say, because I don't ever remember the dates, that you should go to northcoastfoodweb.org. click on cooking classes and see what's coming your way, and check often because we're adding stuff all the time. And who knows, we may be adding it, a one-off baking class.
That'd be great.
Very fun.
So keep an eye on that. And thank you very, very much, Terry.
Terry Miller. Thank you.
We'll come have dessert with you.
Great. Great having you with us today, and thank you for joining us on today's Food Talk, Fresh Conversations about Food on the North Coast.
Thank you so much.